The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. Again, he went out around noon and around 3 o'clock and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual daily wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous?" Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. Well, I don't know about you, but whenever I've heard this gospel, I kind of didn't like it. I kind of grumbled against this gospel here because in my own pride, I guess, I had kind of always associated myself with one of those people who went into the vineyard right away in the morning at 6 o'clock. And of course, the vineyard, is, our Lord tells us right in the beginning of this gospel, that this parable is a parable about the kingdom of heaven. That this is what the Christian life is like. That some people start early. They live the good, holy Christian life their whole lifetime, and they get the reward of heaven. It seems like, you know, on a surface level, we say, well, that's fair, right? That's, you know, if they've lived the whole Christian life, then they deserve to go to heaven. And our Lord even says here in making this parable that, you know, he agreed with them on the usual daily wage. But then he goes out and he finds more people at 9 o'clock, at noon, at 3 o'clock, and then even at 5 o'clock, who still were not yet working in his vineyard, and goes and gets them and tells them to work in his vineyard. And we could hypothesize as to why those other people weren't there earlier. Was it through their own fault? Was it not through their fault? And to apply this parable to what our Lord is talking about here, the kingdom of heaven, you know, there are plenty of people who, through no fault of their own, never had the Christian message proposed to them. And so one can't really blame them for not having lived a Christian life up until that point, right? But certainly we know that there are others who should have been. They were raised in the faith. They should have been living a good, holy Christian life, and for one reason or another, ran from it. But perhaps later on in their life, had some kind of massive conversion experience. But we can look at this vineyard and get kind of jealous. And like I said, especially those of us who have been trying to live a good, holy life for many years, we can say, well, what's the point? Right? If everyone is going to get the same reward, right, the usual daily wage, if everyone's going to get that same reward, what's the point? Why even bother Why even bother living a good Christian life now? Why not go and do what we want now and then just hope that we don't have a sudden death and that we do have an opportunity for confession and to be reconciled to God? And, well, number one, there are a few things wrong with that. We don't know how we're going to die. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know how sudden it's going to be. But there's something else going on here too. And I want to focus on this just briefly because something that we can miss if we get too caught up in this idea of reward and everyone getting the same reward is the fact that being in communion with God here and now is itself a reward. It's its own reward. To be in communion with God now and throughout our lives is its own reward. And that's something that someone who comes to the faith later on, again, through no fault of their own or perhaps through their own fault, that's something that they won't have. Yes, if at the end of their life they, you know, they are truly sorry for everything they've ever done and they, you know, then sure, they'll go to heaven and they'll get the same reward as we do on that level. They'll be in heaven with us. But they will have missed an entire lifetime in which they could have been in communion with God who is love. Missing an entire lifetime of being in that relationship with Christ, with the Blessed Trinity through Christ, right? And this hit me a while ago when I got called to the hospital early in the morning, and we get called to the hospital all the time, so I'm not breaking any confidences by telling you this, but called to the hospital to visit someone who was on their way out. They weren't dying right away, but they weren't going to last very long, and they wanted to go to confession. And it was kind of odd because I'm thinking 3 a.m, like, couldn't this have waited, right? You know, you're not dying. I have to wake up at 5:45 and unlock to the 7 o'clock mass, but whatever. So, but I was so glad when I got there and they started their confession, and bless me, Father, for I've sinned. Last confession was 1940-something. Good Lord! Before my parents were born. But I was so thankful because I thought, my God, like, thank God they're reconciled to God. It was a beautiful, beautiful confession. And thank God, before this person died, they had the opportunity to tell God they're sorry for everything they've ever done wrong. And on one level, I thought, well, they're good to go. But there was also something kind of sad about this story because I thought this person has missed a huge opportunity that absolution's not going to give them back. They missed an entire lifetime in which they could have been happy and at peace with our Lord, with God. And this is, I think, what Isaiah is talking about in that first reading. He says, seek the Lord while he is near, while he can be found. Of course, the Lord is always able to be found on one level. He's always there looking for us. But we need to be looking for him, brothers and sisters, and let's not get caught up in what am I doing. It's very easy to fall into that trap. What am I doing for the Lord? I'm living a good, holy Christian life. I sacrificed some of the best years of my life to, you know, not do what everyone else my age would be doing and instead to try to live a good, holy life. And it's all about what I'm doing for the Lord. But how about what the Lord is doing for us? And not just one day bringing us to heaven, but giving us his peace now, so that no matter what happens to us in this life, no matter the trials we face, that there's still that deep abiding peace, and there's a joy, a deep abiding joy, despite the bad days we have here and now, that we are in communion with God. So let's, brothers and sisters, seek to be and to maintain that communion with God and recognize it as really its own reward.